Hi everyone, my name is Sumitha and I'm really looking forward to exploring this concept about eating with the sun and fasting with the moon. So we are about 6 weeks into the COVID-19 shelter in place, and with me right now as I record this first episode from my home office here in the San Francisco Bay Area are my two sons, or you can say my tech support and editorial staff. And I think they've earned the right to question this project, so I'm just going to start with what it is that they are curious about.
So I was just wondering why you chose this topic. I mean, I know you're an Ayurvedic practitioner, but I didn't realize you were so interested in this idea.
Well, I have actually been intrigued by all the implications of this thought. I would say since I studied Ayurveda, and that, by the way, is coming up on 20 years, so this exploration, I think, is a little overdue. Anyhow, you may not have realized it, but this thought forms the basis of my work because, you know, Ayurveda suggests that we should ideally eat between 10 a.m. and 6 p.m. And sometimes I help people customize this time frame because of their age or Ayurvedic constitution or their geographic location. But that does not take away from the essence of the notion that we should eat with the sun and fast with the moon. I'm quite excited to examine it from all angles, scientific, cultural, spiritual. What about any other questions?
Of all the formats in which you could have discussed this concept, why did you decide to develop a podcast?
You know, it is because this past month, during this COVID-19 shelter in place, I have become tired of staring at my screen, whether it is work-related or otherwise. And I think it will be nice for all of us to use another sense while we go about our daily chores, just to give our eyes a break. And the fact that this allows us to move while listening is just an added advantage. I mean, it's as simple as that. Those were really good questions because they allowed me to introduce the subject and my intentions. But now I'd like to share that I actually happen to be fasting as I speak. I am keeping a friend company through Ramadan or Ramzan, which is a month-long period of fasting, accompanied by prayer and reflection. And my friend Lubna observes this fast because it is considered as one of the five pillars of Islam. It lasts from one sighting of the crescent moon to the next. And I am observing this fast, this year, because I was beginning to feel quite disturbed by all the imagery in our media around food access and affordability during this global lockdown. I mean, on the one hand, I was witnessing the plight of migrant labor and the poor, and on the other, I was seeing pictures of a lot of food in my social networks. So I hope that through Ramzan, I can experience empathy for those who are less fortunate, and this is the spirit with which I'm pursuing my fast. I set my intention, which is a yogic practice that I typically do on the new moon night, and this time it happened to be on the eve of Ramadan, so I joined many Muslims in our collective niyat. Now we are on our ninth day of fasting as I record this, and my friend Lubna and I have been checking in with each other about how we are doing. During one of our calls, I really liked how Lubna recollected the first time we had discussed about fasting together. Hi, Lubna.
Hi, Sumita. How are you?
Good. This memory actually motivates me to keep up my resolve, my sankalp.
I remember we were waiting for our kids at the elementary school, and it was pickup time. And I had told you that I was fasting, and I was right in the middle of Ramadan, or it was like day 13, and you had expressed interest about how you'd like to do that, you know, join me in fasting. And I said, well, you can always join me now. You can do it, and we can, you know, do it together. And then you said specifically, you said that you wanted to start in the beginning of the month because you wanted to get the whole, you know, feel of the month. And I think that feel different as the month progresses.
Yes, I'm amazed you remember it was day 13.
I don't know. I think every day that you do it, you're just thrilled. So I think it was, I think I remember telling you it was in the beginning, like you really feel it a little more in the earlier part of the month. And I think I was just feeling it a little more.
Yeah, you know, one of the things I remember is reading your Facebook post about this instance of that one. And it was fun to remind Lubna about the time last year when she had overslept and not got up in time for her pre-dawn meal.
What happened that day is that I didn't put my alarm on, or I just slept. I just thought I would, you know, put it on snooze. So I ended up missing the time to eat the pre-dawn meal completely. And when that happens, it doesn't matter. You're supposed to carry on with your fast. Now, of course, if you feel sick or ill, you should absolutely break your fast. But what ended up happening was that I woke up and I saw the light outside my window, and I knew that was it. I missed that pre-dawn meal.
So then, how did you feel?
You know, it was okay, I think, because I had the practice of a few days of just being used to fasting. If this happened the first day, I think that would have been really hard. Mm-hmm. So it was, I managed to survive, and I didn't, and I think I took advantage of trying to take it easy a little bit when I could, like resting if I could, or just not being too active that day.
So having grown up in India, I have seen neighbors and friends observe Ramadan. But it has been particularly interesting to learn about how Lubna and her family celebrate here in America. And I'm really looking forward to Lubna's upcoming memoir, where she writes about growing up in Silicon Valley as the daughter of Indian and Pakistani immigrants. I'm curious to see her story. But meanwhile, in our calls, she prepared me well for the rituals around fasting.
There's two basic meals, and if you're going to be fasting, you wake up in the morning, and you have to wake up before dawn, because right when dawn starts is when you start the fasting. So we wake up for a pre-dawn meal, and that's called sahur, and you can eat whatever you want, and you know, people say, of course, don't make it too junky and too much sugar, because you want it to kind of help you last throughout the day of fasting. In my case, I feel like by 9 o'clock in the morning, my stomach is empty. I don't know why, but it never seems to last very long for me. I'm probably eating the wrong thing. So anyway, you have that meal, and then you go through the whole day of fasting. And during these days, the fast is more than 14 hours, and last year as well, more than 14 hours. And so what happens is that, you know, you go through the whole day, and then right at sunset, which is the sunset meal, that's called iftar. That's when we break our fast, and that's just right when right when the sun sets.
So since I follow an Ayurvedic food plan, it was difficult for me to imagine waking up in the morning and eating something that early, before 5 a.m. Actually closer to 4 or 4:30 a.m. But I also knew that I had to sustain myself with good nourishing food in the morning, since I had 14 hours of the day ahead of me, where I would be teaching yoga and doing some online Ayurvedic consulting, as well as cooking for my family. I didn't want to be tempted with food. So I had some discussions with Lubna around what she ate in the mornings to keep herself going through the day.
So when I wake up, the last thing I want to do is eat, but I know I have to. So I try to make it as, not exciting, but just something, I want it to be at least delicious or tasty. But you know, it's not. I ended up making eggs for the first few days, and it was okay. But then I got tired of that. So then I moved on to oatmeal. My sister said that that's really good for you, and that actually makes you feel pretty good. So I thought, okay, I'll try that, and they both work, they work because I don't feel, you know, sick in the day, so that's really good. I think the oatmeal is a little bit better, so I think for some reason that seems to be better. The first day when I fasted this month, what happened was that I did not wean myself off of my tea drinking habit, so it was really tough because I did have that. I had a caffeine withdrawal headache. It was really, really strong, and it was getting worse and worse. And by the time I had to break my fast, it was I could barely even think of eating because I felt so sick. But that's passed, and now I'm kind of used to it, so I feel much better. But But back to what you were saying, I think we have to be careful with caffeine. If you have any sort of addiction to tea or coffee, you have to take that into consideration when you start fasting. And then I think for the meal, I think if you have some protein, something kind of heavy, that's a good thing too. And it really is hard to kind of stuff yourself that early in the morning.
Yeah, I know. Now for these first 9 days of fasting, I have eaten the same sahur, or the pre-dawn meal. I've been having a Kamut Khorasan wheat cereal. This is like a non-hybridized ancient wheat. It's a whole grain and it has more protein, amino acids, vitamins and minerals than regular wheat. It's also anti-inflammatory, so it serves me very well. And to this I add almond milk, a spoon of peanut butter, and I also chop up a banana in there. So I'm trying to prioritize, low glycemic and medium glycemic index foods so that I get good sustenance for the rest of my day.
Break your fast if you want to eat a lot, or you feel like you can eat a lot. But in reality, it's hard to eat a whole lot, and it's good to kind of pace yourself. Right. So I think it's always been about moderation and just being kind of like, don't eat too much fried stuff. Sure, in our culture, there's a lot of fried food that's offered at the iftar time. So I think just to be moderate is good with what you eat.
Yeah, that makes sense. And my favorite part of the iftar is breaking the fast with a date. It was really sweet of Lubna to drop off a stash of organic dates with a bottle of sparkling water and a card, wishing me Ramadan Mubarak on the eve of our fast. And since then, for my evening post-dusk meal, I've been eating some green veggies, lentils, perhaps an orange or coconut water. My favorite is that date. The last 9 days have felt really surreal. I think I've exceeded my own expectations of staying with this fast, and I'm feeling resilient and empathetic, obviously, but also really mindful. And I wondered what Lubna's experience was, given that she is fasting during the COVID-19 shelter in place for the first time. And I just wondered how different that was from her previous years.
So during the weekdays, it's pretty normal in the sense that, the kids have, well, of course, now it's completely different. The kids have school at home. But during the weekdays, it's pretty all right. But I know that on weekends, many times we'll be invited to go to somebody's house to break fast, to have iftar. And that's really nice because you're actually doing it with other people. And it's nice to have the kids see that kind of this really nice tradition that I grew up with, going to people's houses and to have iftar and then dinner, and to kind of just share in the hardships about fasting, but also in the fun of it too, by celebrating with other people. And that is not going to happen this year, which is too bad. And I'll miss that. The other thing that happens during Ramadan is every night at mosques all around the country and in the world, there are special prayers that are done, and they're optional, but people go to the mosque and fill the mosque with so that they can pray. The prayers in the mosque is actually the recitation of the Quran, and that's every night for 30 nights. So that's going to be impossible because all the mosques are closed. So of course, we miss that too.
I'm sure there's some delivery through an online medium.
So I think there are options like that, but also it's recommended during the Prophet actually said that during the time of a plague, you are supposed to shelter in place and not go out. So the recommendation would be just to pray at home. So that's what everybody I know is doing. They're just praying maybe a little bit extra at home, and even taking advantage of this time to sort of look inward and strengthen your connection with God through the hardship of fasting.
So we'll wrap up on that beautiful thought, and I hope that you will check in to see how we are faring with our fasting. Signing off with some words of wisdom from my 11-year-old.
Oh, I get it. Even though during Ramadan you do not eat with the sun, but you fast between the two crescent moons.
I really enjoyed my enhanced mindfulness that came with this Ramadan fast in regards to food. Thank you, Sumita, for the idea and the inspiration. Knowing that we would have an amazing meal at sunset was a very different experience than my patients have, as they often do not know when or where they will get their next meal. But it did enhance our empathy for those who have greater need in this time. Thank you.